I think a couple of the testimonies might be very relevant to some of what I'm going to share this morning as well. Title of the talk this morning is, please don't miss this, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. So I've asked Jason to prepare a song for afterwards, but it's not going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. We're going to sing that first song again about the name of Jesus. So the scripture is Acts chapter 4, 23 to 31. Now, I'll explain this a little bit more detail in a minute. Somebody asked me a question during the week on the book of Acts. And as a result of that question, I felt I'd rushed too fast through and I'd almost skipped over a little bit in chapter 3, 4, and 5. And I felt convicted that I needed to go back a little bit, slow down a little bit, a bit like when you're in a car and you come to a 30 mile an hour. And I felt, slow down, Stephen. Don't miss. There's a whole lot of shaking going on that's in this passage. So it's Acts 4, 23 to 31. Shall I read the passage first of all? Yes. It says like this. This is quite early in Acts. This is about Peter and John, who had been arrested, guess what, for preaching the gospel and teaching the people about Jesus. Now that's a crime. And they let them go with a warning. You can go, guys, but no more talk about Jesus. No more talk about him being risen from the dead. No more influencing the people. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants, we heard this in the testimonies, didn't we? That with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, drum roll, was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Someone has said, there's no such thing as a silly question. When you ask questions, it shows curiosity, a desire to learn. And sometimes questions are good because they show that you're observant. Sometimes we miss the elephant in the room. Children are a great example of people who are not afraid to ask questions. I did a little survey this morning. The top 7 questions that children ask. I wonder if you've been asked any of these. I wonder, did you as a child ask any of these? Top of the list, at number 1, why do people die? Good question. Number 2, where did I come from? What is God? Number 3. Number 4, what does I can't afford it mean? Is Santa real? Why do I have to go to school? Why is the sky blue? Good questions. I wonder, do you have some questions when you read the book of Acts? Are you asking questions? If you are, and they haven't been answered, I give you an opportunity. Write it on a little slip of paper, stick it in the offering basket, and I promise to read them and look at them. Maybe even try to answer them. And if I can't answer them, I'll ask Ken or Steve McClurg or somebody else. Maybe you have questions like, when you read the book of Acts, what's this tongues thing? Is the tongues in Acts 2 the same as the tongues in Corinthians? What about Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 5? God struck them dead for lying. Awesome. It's a good question. When the disciples lost Judas, they cast lots to find a replacement. Was Matthias or the Apostle Paul the replacement for Judas? But somebody, I'll name names, it was Andre. Somebody asked me a question during the week that provoked me to come to this passage. It's all over the book of Acts, Stephen. What about signs and wonders and miracles? Good question. You know, sometimes what happens is, I said this before, once you ask the right question and you get an insight, it's like putting a pair of glasses on and it's everywhere in the book of Acts. Christ is everywhere in the book of Acts. It's not right. The gospel describes what he began to do and teach. Acts is the sequel. We see the ascended, risen Christ at work behind the scenes, continuing the propagation of the gospel and the kingdom, building the church, which would become mission centers, that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. We see Jesus all over the book of Acts. We see the Holy Spirit all over the book of Acts. In Acts 2, we see the Holy Spirit. Acts 5, they lied to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work. It should be called the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But as we've said repeatedly, we see the P's all over the book of Acts. We've heard that so many times. Let's not miss it. Don't miss the elephant in the room. Prayer is all over the book of Acts. We have it here. We have it in Acts 2. Every time there was a crisis, prayer, prayer, prayer. We have praise all over the book of Acts. We heard about Paul and Silas praising God in the prison. We have proclamation of Christ, preaching, proclamation of the resurrection all over the book of Acts. We have persecution, another P, all over the book of Acts. It's normal to pay a price to follow Jesus. It's not small print. It's all over the book of Acts. But we see another P. We see the power of God all over the book of Acts. We saw in answer to prayer a shaking of a building. We saw in Acts 2 something like a wind, something like a fire. In Acts chapter 3, we saw an extraordinary miracle. A man who was over 40, anybody over 40 here? Who had never walked since childhood, since birth, walked. Extraordinary demonstration of the P, which is power, of in the name of Jesus Christ. We see Paul doing miracles, even handkerchiefs. We see Peter and the apostles doing miracles. Even Peter's shadow was healing people. We see signs, wonders, healings, and miracles all over the book of Acts. You can't read the book of Acts and not make that observation. There is a whole lot of shaking going on in the book of Acts. The name of Jesus was preached. The name of Jesus was glorified. There was an extraordinary healing in the name of Jesus, and signs and wonders and miracles attested the proclamation of the Word of God. We cannot miss that in the book of Acts. And by the way, There is a supernatural dimension to the Christian life. Christian life is not just rules, regulations, and philosophy. It's a real, actual relationship with the sovereign God who created the universe and with Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. It's not a game. It's not a hobby. It's not let's choose a religion. There is something supernatural about the message and about the person of Christ. And there's meant to be something that cannot be explained by the natural about my life and about the church life and about why Christians, even when they're persecuted, they still follow Jesus. Even when they face the normal difficulties in life, there is a supernatural dimension that helps them overcome evil, overcome sin, overcome bad habits. It's all over Acts, and it should be all over our lives as well. And the context of this scripture, let me remind you, chapter 4, it follows chapter 3. There's a revelation in itself. I've already mentioned what happened. There was an extraordinary miracle. And then when the people rushed to witness this miracle, what actually happened is that Peter and John started to proclaim about Jesus. That this was not done by our name. This was not done by the name of our church. This was through the name of Jesus Christ, who you crucified and who rose from the dead. Therefore, repent, catch yourself on, and get on board with God's move on the earth. As a result of that miracle and that preaching and that teaching, they were arrested and they were warned. Stop speaking about Jesus. Stop being bold. Stop giving your testimony. Stop praying for sick people and giving the credit to Jesus. Stop giving the credit and the glory of why there's a peace in your life and a passion in your life to this person, Jesus Christ. Don't give glory or attention to that name. If you do, there's worse in store for you. How did they respond to that? Well, of course, if you read chapter 4, they'll say, is it better to obey God or obey man? That famous statement. We cannot but talk about him. What was their response to the threat of further imprisonment and persecution? Did they contact their lawyer? Did they have a protest? Did they contact their MLA? Did they go to the newspapers? Did they take out weapons? What did they do? What do you do when you're challenged with fear, anxiety, and persecution? What they did is they went to their friends and they prayed. They prayed. So the next little thing I want to share is I want to share about the reflex, the biblical reflex to pressure and persecution is calling on God, is prayer. Someone has said like this, when you're under pressure and you're squeezed, what's on the inside will come out. If it's bad, have you ever noticed that? You know, people who never swear and they never blaspheme, when they're squeezed, you know, sometimes words can come out. And when these guys were squeezed, the reflex was to seek God to pray. Isn't that a good way to respond? There's a biblical way to respond. There's a Christ-like way to respond. There's a kingdom way to respond to pressure and persecution. We don't fight flesh with flesh. We forgive people. We don't fight political spirit with political spirit. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are strong and they are spiritual. And top of the list is prayer. But here's what's very interesting. What did they pray for? Did you notice that in the passage? What did this gathering of God's people pray for? I could ask the question, what did they not pray for? But what did they pray for? They prayed for two things. And both of these things are highly important for us today. And the order of these things is very important as well. The first thing they prayed for was boldness to speak about Jesus Christ. Speak up, the power and the boldness to speak up and speak out, that doors would be open for the gospel, that what God wants me to say, I will continue to say it, that we will live the life that we're called to live no matter what, that we'll have the courage and we'll have lion hearts. We'll be so filled with your Spirit that we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ. I said I had two testimonies this morning. One of them concerns a friend. And you may have come across one of my passions is find three people in your life, five people if you want. If you're really, really greedy in inverted commas, 100 people. Pray for them every day that they'd come to the Lord or be blessed by God or that God would break into their life. And one of the young men I've been praying for came to the prayer meeting on Thursday night. He's given his life to Christ, but he knows very little, in inverted commas. It's all so new to him, and I was so nervous. Of all the meetings to come to, a prayer meeting. I said, Lillian, you move there and let him sit beside me, and he'll not mind me telling this story. And I saw him the next day, and I was wondering what would have happened. And what I noticed is he had never prayed out loud before, and he prayed out loud. And I was wondering what sort of impact that had on him. And then there was a couple of our young men went up to him afterwards and started speaking to him and praying for him. And I was intrigued and curious, what's going on there? So I said to him at the football the next day, in fact, I didn't say to him, he spontaneously couldn't wait to speak to me. He said, Stephen, I saw a miracle last night. Don't miss the elephant in the room. I saw an awkward situation. He said, I saw a miracle. I've never prayed out loud before. And those guys, one of them said to me, I had been sleeping. How did he know that? And when I was driving home in the car, just something came upon me. And I had the best sleep I've had as far as I can remember. He called it a miracle. I didn't call it a miracle. I'm very careful to use the word miracle because I don't want to tell lies. I don't want to exaggerate. But when somebody says and testifies, God touched them, he saw something he had never seen before, and he knew God loved them, I rejoiced in that. And there's something about boldness. You know, there's something about singing out loud. I want to say this. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm trying to. I'll take my glasses off because I can't see people. But you know, so I have a question. You know, some people in this room, you haven't sang out loud yet in praise. You're missing something. You haven't told someone you're a believer in work or school. You're missing out on something. There's something significant about speaking up, speaking out, and courage and boldness. That's what they asked for. They didn't say, oh, Lord, please protect us from going to prison. Please send the fire and destroy those Pharisees and chief priests. Kill every one of them. Didn't pray that. Yes, they said, God, acknowledge their threats. Acknowledge what they're saying, what they're doing, what they're planning. But we acknowledge you above and beyond that, that you're in control and you're sovereign. Nothing happens in heaven, earth, or the sea, or under the earth, except by your permission. Give us even more boldness. That's one of the signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is boldness, speaking up, speaking out. I actually do experience a lot of miracles, but like Julie said about, you know, imagine me speaking in front of all these people. I still get nervous speaking in front of people. And every time I do it, I almost like wink to the Lord, you know. He knows and I know that there's a strength and an ability, not of myself. He gets the credit, he gets the glory. And that applies if you're in a situation like Jonathan mentioned. It applies if you're telling your best friend in school you're a Christian. Boldness. But what was the and that's the order, boldness first. And what was the second thing they asked for? We pray that mighty signs and wonders would be done through your holy servant, Jesus. They wanted signs of healing and deliverance and power. They didn't ask for signs of destruction and judgment. They asked that the love of Christ, the healing power of Christ, the beauty of Christ, the overcoming power of Christ would be demonstrated in the lives of people. That you would up the ante, Lord. And I believe with all my heart that we still need to pray prayers like that today. More boldness, but also that more and more people would experience the transforming power of God. That God would stretch out his hand and heal people and deliver people. The purpose of praying for the signs and wonders was not to glorify them, not to play games, but to glorify Jesus. Now, I have two questions. And because this is as much for those who are going to listen to this on the internet, because potentially this message goes all over the world. Are signs and wonders and miracles normal? And are they to be sought? Are they normative? And are they to be sought? And my answer is so politically balanced. You're going to love this. My answer to both those questions is yes and no. First of all, are signs and wonders and miracles to be expected as normal? That every day and every second we should expect these things, and if we're not seeing it, you know, we need to catch ourselves on. We have to be careful about signs and wonders. It says in Corinthians, the Jews seek a sign, and the Greeks seek wisdom. And there's a seeking of signs that is not good. There's a seeking of wisdom that is not good. It's not about showing off. It's not about ear tickling. It's not about toys. It's not about exaggeration. But what it is about is the glorification of the name of Jesus Christ. And it seems to be there are special times and seasons in history and in the Bible when there were extraordinary miracles. The time of Moses, the time of Elijah, the time of Jesus, the time of the apostles. And even today, in certain groundbreaking times of history and in parts of the world, there seems to be extraordinary miracles happening. But I don't think we have to see a miracle 5 times a day. I don't think we have to run after these things as if they are some kind of toy. But I said that the answer, are miracles normal and should we ask for them? The answer is no, but it's also yes. And that's why I give that testimony about my friend. I have another testimony. It's a sign and it's a wonder. In Macedonia, there was a financial need for the ministry, and a certain specific amount of money was required. You know who you are, but there was an anonymous, from my end, gift of money in the offering plate in the last few weeks. The amount of money was destined for Macedonia, and it was sent, or is about to be sent, to Zoran Spasovsky in Macedonia. Zoran wrote to me and says, "You will not believe this. That is the exact, we converted the money into euros, and it's the exact amount of money we wanted and needed." Our God does extraordinary miracles. And we should not be shocked or surprised. And we should not be so full of unbelief and doubt that we miss the good elephant in the room. Sometimes I just look at creation and think, what a miracle. Sometimes I look at some of the opportunities I've had. I just can't believe it. It's absolutely staggering. And yes, there were special times and contexts for extraordinary miracles, but all over the book of Acts, we see it wasn't just the apostles, the deacons were used in this area. Stephen, Philip, Ananias, a pop-up Christian. God used him to bring sight to the apostle Paul. Maybe Ananias did not do miracles every day of the week, but he was in the right place at the right time, and he was open. And God did an outstanding miracle through Ananias, who was not an apostle. And so, according to the word of God, we should ask God and pray that he will move in situations and lives and communities and do signs and wonders and healings. There's a man called Alistair Beggs who's written a book. It's big at the minute, and it's called Pray Big. We have to learn to pray big. To pray big prayers because we've got a big God. There is a supernatural dimension to the Christian life, to overcoming, to being a witness, to the spiritual warfare we're in. We need a mighty God and a God of power. And that's what we have. And so, let's be mature. Let's be spiritual when it comes to these things. But if you're a people helper, ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit to help people so that Jesus is glorified and the message we preach is attested with signs and wonders. I don't think we can improve on how God did it. And even Jesus himself said, "You will do greater things than me because I go to the Father." And I know that's about being the biggest miracle of all, has been born again. I know it's to do with that. And it's to do with the corporate dimension to the whole church. Jesus could only be in one place at one time. And you know what? He never once visited Dunmurry. But he hasn't forgotten Dunmurry. He hasn't forgotten Twinbrook. He hasn't forgotten Seymour Hill. Because he sent us. He sent us. He hasn't forgotten my family. He hasn't forgotten my neighbors. He hasn't forgotten the people I work with because he sent me. Oh God, fill me with boldness that I don't have in myself and stretch out your hand to do signs and wonders. Finally, there's something else not to miss. Another good elephant in the room. Please don't miss this. Have you noticed all over the book of Acts prayer? I rest my case. Praise, I rest my case. Proclamation of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, the uniqueness of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, the all-sufficient Christ, the coming again Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. It's all over the book of Acts. And we see persecution and we see the power of God. But there's something else, and it doesn't begin with P. Can you put the next verse up, Caleb? And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. And then the next verse. Sorry, we didn't prepare that one. That's my fault. Verse 32. And being let go, 32. Now the multitude of those who believed, here's the elephant, were of one heart and one soul. There is something very, very significant about being of one heart and one mind and one soul. That's why I prayed about solidarity at the start of the service. Don't miss the fact that when they prayed, it was as if it was one voice going forward. Don't miss the fact that persecution led to an increase in that sense of we're together in this thing. You know, Peter and John, you've blown it. You've put your mouth on it again, Peter. You used to do that when Jesus was alive. No, we're in this together. One heart and one soul. And that manifested in very practical ways. No one said anything they shared was their own. Sounds like communism, doesn't it? I think communism tried to hijack something without God. You take God out of this, it doesn't work. But when God is at work, a solidarity and a unity comes to people. Have you noticed in a war situation, brothers and sisters stop fighting because they have a common enemy? Have you noticed that when there's persecution, people seem to stop complaining about their feelings and their identity issues? Have you noticed that? In war situations, perspective comes. Have you noticed when families or communities are facing death, there's a solidarity, there's a perspective, there's a coming together? Sometimes people forgive each other and do all kinds of ridiculous things when they have that sense of what's really important. Oh, I hate, that's a very strong word, isn't it? I hate all the things that unnecessarily divide God's people. I hate the pettiness of gossip. I hate the pettiness of jealousy, comparison. Let's all contend for the name that's above every name. Let's all contend for a boldness. Let's all contend that God would do signs and wonders. Let's declare war on every demonic thing that tries to divide God's people unnecessarily. God, protect our marriages. God, protect our family life. Protect our friendships. Protect our relationships. There's two people know that unity is important. God and the devil. To be the devil's advocate, this unity thing, we've got to hit it, guys. We've got to, how do we hit this unity thing? Let's get God's people distracted. Let's get them superficial. Let's get them fighting with each other. Let's get them into this gossip thing. And we could use social media. Let's use it. It's class. We can get things to go viral. I just think, you know, if we want the power, we have to, there's a price to pay, isn't there? And that's unity. And I just wrote down here, don't wait until there's a crisis, in inverted commas, before we stand as one in prayer, praise, and proclamation, asking for the power of God. Jesus' prayer was, I pray, Father, that they may be one as we are one. Don't wait until there's a crisis before we catch ourselves on and stand together. Actually, there is a crisis. How many people groups haven't heard the gospel, Jason? 1,000+. That's a crisis. I don't have time. You don't have time to footer about. How many people in our family, if they died, would be lost? I don't have time to footer about. Neither do you. There is a crisis. Young people are taking their lives. Young men are killing themselves in West Belfast. There is a crisis. Even if death hasn't touched my family, as I quoted, was it 2-3 weeks ago, so many tens of thousands of people die every day. But it only has an impact if it touches my life. But it touches God's heart. I don't want that to be condemning. I don't want that to be negative. I just want that to be a kind of wake-up call that we really need. And when, you know, one of my favorite verses, and I've got loads of favorite verses, one of my favorite verses is in the Old Testament. I think it's Habakkuk. It says, the glory, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I want to be part of that. I want this church to be part of that, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would cover the earth, that Jesus' name would be held in the highest regard, that we would make Jesus famous, and that the name that's above every name will be seen to be above every name, higher than every prime minister, every president, every king, every queen, every philosophy, every religion, every disease, every sickness, the name above every name. Let that name, the knowledge of that name, be spread throughout the entire earth, which is why I want us to sing that song again. Do we have the words now, Caleb, of that song? And we can just sing that as a final song of praise with solidarity, as a prayer. And maybe catch the spirit of what I'm trying to say this morning, that what we're involved with really is the only thing worth living for. Christ and the glorification of the name of Christ. And if that means I need boldness and you need boldness, oh God, give it to us. If that means we need to pray, God, stretch out your hand and do signs and wonders, let's pray that he'll stretch out his hand and do signs and wonders. And if that means a unity isn't optional, let's be at one heart and one mind. So I think we just sing this song, and I'm going to let you finish the service as well. I've just spent. Well, I think we have the words this time, don't we, Caleb?